This is another edition of Tshwane Unplugged. I get to speak to a new member of the city of Tshwane. He goes by the name of Councillor Nick Pascoe. He is the chairperson of Section 79 Oversight Committee for Integrated Development Plan. Councillor Nick Pascoe, like I said, is in this role. He has also he is currently serving his second term as a councillor at the city of Tshwane. He is a family man, an unwavering ethical community leader, and a practicing Christian. With his passion for people, he was elected as the chairperson at the Association for the Disabled Persons and the Deaf for 3 years in the Free State Province. He has become actively involved as a community leader and was elected as CPF chairperson from 2005 until 2009. Under his leadership, Gasfontein CPF was considered as the CPF benchmark in the Republic of South Africa. Thereafter, he became involved in local government politics, where he has excelled as a dearly loved leader and being a true leader for communities and their needs. Wow, what an introduction. Wow, that is amazing to know that we have a gentleman that when I met you off air, I said, Councillor Nick Pascoe, and he said, no, not Councillor, just call me Nick. So I'm going to try my absolute best to just call you Nick in today's interview. But thank you so much for being on Impact 103 FM for the Tshwane Unplugged session. Let's jump right into these questions that I have for you. Got quite a few questions for you, and I know we're going to learn so much from these questions, and it's going to bring hope to the citizens of Pretoria knowing that work is being done. First of all, Nick, what is your role and the functions that you play in Section 79 Oversight Committee for Integrated Development Plan in our city?
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I think when answering a question like this, one first has to go back and ask, what is an IDP? IDP on a or integrated development plan as a academic word is quite loaded. However, what does it mean? The source documents for IDP are various ones. Number one, the age and the assets of the age within the city, and that is the seen as well as the unseen asset. Taking for consideration the water, the sewage, the electricity, all those seen and unseen assets. Their life expectancies is an example of a source document to the IDP. Then the population, the influx of the population within Tshwane. You know, currently Tshwane grows at a rate of about 92,000 people per year. Having said that, the strain on the influx and the strain of the assets just becomes so much more. Then you get the national and the provincial and local development frameworks. National has got some ideas where they want to go to with Tshwane. And having said that, that has to be incorporated within the IDP. Then the strategic objectives of the government. And in this stage, we call it the coalition government, and what the major want to achieve within this five-year period, and the needs, and this is at last, but it's possibly the most important one, the needs expressed by communities and stakeholders. These combined gives you the five-year IDP. And this is a five-year future planning for the city. And this is then broken down into biteable sizes of 1 year, and it's called the SDBIP. Now, the role of the IDP committee is to ensure that these biteable projects per year are achieved, and that we are monitoring it on a quarterly basis. So this is, in short, the overview function of the IDP committee on the IDP as well as the SDBIP, in short.
That's a great way just to explain it from a, a perspective where we as outsiders don't even understand the whole structure and the organization and how it works and the long-term plan and how that plan gets formed. So well done, nicely answered. With the conclusion of local government elections that were held on the 1st of November 2021, a coalition was entered into the city of Tshwane between a Democratic Alliance, Action SA, the Freedom Front Plus, African Christian Democratic Party, and Carter Freedom Party, and the Congress of the People. In this coalition agreement, the political parties are committed to several principles and priorities that would guide governance in the city of Tshwane. What are those coalition strategic priorities that the political parties have committed to as a coalition?
Thank you very, very much for that. A watershedding day was on the 15th of December 2021, when the six parties entered into a coalition agreement. And deriving from this coalition agreement, the 10 strategic objectives was put into a manifesto, and they are as follows. Number one, to prioritize the electrical grid and the water infrastructure. I believe we look into the Tshwane, we see a huge number of blackouts, and we're not speaking of load shedding, blackouts. The assets of the city is really, really under strain. Then the second one, the second priority, and I need to underline it so that the people understand it, and this is to adopt a stringent financial management and oversight process. In the past, we saw money flown like water. The coalition government changed it and says to adopt a very stringent financial management. Number three, to create a business-friendly city that promotes employment and economic growth. At the end of the day, we want the people to be content in Tshwane. Don't go elsewhere. Come to Tshwane, because there you will get in contentment. Number four, to enhance the city's safety, security, and emergency services. Number five, to maintain a clean and protected natural environment. When we look at Tshwane, we've got so much heritage sites, so much beautiful environmental surrounding us, that we have to protect it. It's our Christian right, and it's a Christian obligation to ensure that we do that. To develop the road infrastructure and enhance the mobility. And this is not necessarily only for vehicles. This is non-motorized vehicles as well, bicycles, whatever the case may be. To create a caring city. This is very important. To create a caring city that supports the vulnerable and provides social relief. Having 92,000 people per year coming into our country, what about the people that's been here for 20, 30, whatever the year, many years? We need to care for them. Then to create a professional public service, everybody longs for a professional service. And the last one, to endeavor in creating a healthy and a vibrant city.
Wow, that's a big mandate over there. I think the word that came out of there is stewardship also.
Indeed.
As you say, we have a heritage. We are to look after it in so many different ways, not only just old buildings, but infrastructure, be it the power stations, substations, whatever it may be. Because like you say, there are blackouts that happen in certain areas of our city, and that is not due to load shedding. It is just probably due to maintenance. I'm not too sure. I'm just going to leave it at that. But let's go on to our next question, where the South African municipalities have been implementing IDPs to enhance basic service delivery in their area of jurisdiction. However, the challenge of service delivery infrastructure backlog, for example, the infrastructure of water, electricity, stormwater, so many others I can name, but I'll just name those for now, remains an unresolved and alarming issue in almost all municipalities. So my question to you on this statement is, what are the interventions that are incorporated in the IDP to address the issue of service delivery infrastructure backlogs in the city of Tshwane?
Against the backdrop I mentioned with regards to what an IDP is. There are three main, and one can almost say cornerstones, one has to focus on. Number one, and I have named it, the asset register. One has to take in mind or bear in mind that on the 11th, on 2011, Tshwane was amalgamated of 19 various municipalities into one. The asset registers prior to 2011 was never kept up to date properly. Even Tshwane's wasn't even kept. Now we have a amalgamated 19 municipalities into one, and the asset register, in other words, the seen and the unseen assets, we need to know what the age of them is. We need to know when are they to be upgraded. So the cornerstone of our focal cornerstone is to ensure that we have a proper asset register. Number two, determining on the asset register what assets need to be upgraded at what intervals. So that is a very, very important thing. At the end of the day, if you want a vibrant city, you have to have the people content where they live. Number two, a stringent financial management. The history shows us that money flowed like water, and that is totally uncalled for. That's why the coalition government has named stringent financial management as number two on their list of priorities. And that is unequivocally what we need to do. Within the coalition government now in place, this matter being number two is going to have, and it's not necessarily going, we are busy doing it. We're underlining it. We are checking stringent financial management up to the bone. And then a third one is effective oversight and performance management. Too many years, people got away with mediocre performance. And this has changed. We need to ensure that we have scorecards, and just noting a poor delivery is not good enough. We need to know what are the remedial actions, number one. And number two, we need to know what was the core reasons why projects did not achieve or was not achieved. And then we have to change the core reasons so that at the end of the day, the reasons are mitigated as well as we receive or we do achieve our projects and our goals. These are the three main cornerstones, I believe, we do in the IDP as well as in the coalition government.
After a series of interviews that I have been doing over the last couple of weeks, I'm starting to see a thread of accountability. I'm starting to see the fact that every single time money is to be spent, there's going to be a question: why is this going to be spent? Where is it going? Is this going to be effective? Also, in the first statement that you made with the assets being registered, how old they are, and coming back to an old interview that I did, I think it was with our town planner, councillor, talking about tenders, that when we know if something needs to be upgraded, a tender needs to go out, and this takes it about 6 months or so. So that is so essential to know, and it's vital to know the age of these assets. So like you say, if we can upgrade it in time, that it's not a matter of upgrading infrastructure due to a response, reacting to just a blackout or a burst, a water pump, or whatever it may be. It's actually, there are processes in place to make this whole system smooth and run effectively without the people of the city of Tshwane even possibly knowing that there was an issue or there could have been an issue. It's mitigating future issues, and know that there is accountability for that. We're going to continue on this. We've got a few more interviews or questions in this interview. If you've just tuned into Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive, and you have been doing so for quite some time, you'll know that on a Wednesday is Tshwane Unplugged. And this is where I get to speak to various representatives from the city of Tshwane to educate us so that we understand how things are working. Are things working? Yes, they are. And how new initiatives are being implemented, and that there is accountability in this. And this morning I am speaking with Councillor Nick Pascoe, who is the chairperson of Section 79 Oversight Committee for Integrated Development Plan. We are continuing our discussion on Tshwane Unplugged on the morning drive. And if you've just tuned in, I'm speaking with Councillor Nick Pascoe. He is the chairperson of Section 79 Oversight Committee for Integrated Development Plan. So if you ever hear the acronym AIDP, you know exactly what it means. IDP means Integrated Development Plan. Nick, as I'm instructed to call you, not Councillor Nick Pascoe, it is Nick. Let's continue with this discussion. Financial management is a crucial element of municipal management, that is. You've discussed it on a number of occasions in every single answer almost in this morning's discussion. It enables the local government to plan, mobilise and use financial resources in an effective manner, that is. It also needs to be in an efficient manner, as well as fulfill its obligations to be accountable to citizens. So finances, close to everybody's heart, making sure that things are governed properly, including the financial part of things. What is the coalition government's approach to managing the city's finances?
As indicated, as you rightly said, around about three or four times, I already said that stringent financial management is the cornerstone. Now, this is very important to understand on what aspects we do it. And that's, I'm going to name 4 points. However, these 4 points, it's not limited with regards to the coalition, but it's also, it's probably much wider. But the 4 points is, number one, we need to create a culture of paying for services rendered in the city and to manage the debtor book. Because that, at the end of the day, is where one's money come from. And if you don't manage that properly, at the end of the day, you are just going to lose all the way. So creating a culture of paying for services rendered and managing the debtor book. The second point is meticulously managing the overseeing of the city's procurement management. It's been said time and time over, right through the entire country, that procurement management is probably the most flawed area within any governmental business. And this is exactly where the coalition government steps in. And that is to do a meticulous managing of the procurement management processes. By means of the Public Accounts Committee, we call it the Impact Committee, ensuring sound financial management and stringent investigations on fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We cannot afford to have fruitless and wasteful expenditure anymore. A rand stays a rand. And that rand has to go, it's got to work for one. And fruitless and wasteful expenditure is, according to me, a crime against our country. And then the other one is stringent performance management of projects and grants. The city get grants from provincial as well as national government. And in the past, we see time and time over again that the grants aren't spent effectively. And many a times grants are sent back. That is very close to criminal. And that's why we say stringent performance management, ensuring that grants are spent effectively and possibly to the fullest.
Nick, a municipality's performance management system is, like you say, a primary mechanism to monitor, review and improve the implementation of its IDP and to gauge the progress made in achieving the objectives set out in the IDP. How does the coalition government intend to use performance management system to assist the city of Tshwane in achieving effective service delivery?
This is possibly the core function of the IDP committee. This is to ensure that meticulously ensure that performance management with regards to projects are done. We get as we said, the SDBIP, the Service Delivery Budget Implementation Plan, just to name it, and that is broken down in yearly bites as well as quarterly bites. And every quarter, a detailed expenditure and performance reaching, or the performance are spelled out. Now, the recent history showed that the IDP meetings or committees took note and took cognizance of that. This has changed drastically. We say no. Number one, please give us the reasons, the core reasons why it was not achieved. And number two, give me the remedial actions. How are you, number one, going to ensure that it doesn't happen again? And number two, how are you going to catch up? Because at the end of the day, if you don't catch up, and if you don't address the core issues, it's going to happen time and time again. And that's the coalition's government's, let's call it, focal area: performance management and accountability. At the end of the day, this is what is going to drive Tshwane forward.
Nick, a final question for you in today's interview. Section 152 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa reflects on the objects of local government, which include encouraging the involvement of communities and community organizations in matters of local government. What is being done to encourage public participation in the integrated development planning process, that is the IDP process?
Recent history has shown us that the office of the speaker and their staff went out, and they had seven meetings on the seven regions, irrespective of having 107 wards, and then needs from the communities was asked. And those needs was not necessarily effectively tabled, monitored, as or taken to book. And at the end of the day, after the year, it just fell off the table, whatever the case may be, and the communities was disgruntled. So we said, no, we need to change the system in total. So now it's what's going to happen from this year. The office of the chief whip is going to manage each and every ward councillor, getting their details and their needs from the communities. In the past, it was limited to three. We said, no, give all your needs. We won't be able to fund them all, but give all your needs. At least then we know where we are going to. This is going to be driven by the chief whip's office. And then all the other stakeholders, with other words, the chambers of commerce, the interest groups, all those stakeholders in this city is going to be addressed by the office of the speaker, getting their needs. So now what we're going to have is a comprehensive public participation needs driven, so that at the end of the day, the city and the IDP processes know exactly what the needs of each and every community member is. However, there's one vital point that was left out. In the past, feedback was never given to the communities. This round coming, the chief whip is going to have a historical IDP needs that's been given to give feedback to the communities and say, this is where you were, what is the gaps, and how are we going to fill that in? In other words, we're going to close all the gaps, ensuring that at the end of the day, the public feel content, number one, and feel important enough that we look after their needs, in short.
Well, that is a great explanation on that. I'd like to ask Dr. Raj Pillay also one question before we wrap up today's discussion on Tshwane Unplugged. Dr. Raj Pillay, once again, thank you so much for being on Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive. My question to you this morning is, what happens when the IDP programs are not succeeding?
Good morning, Birgitta. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to your listeners out there. I think that's quite an important question, and we must understand the IDP is a process that's done once every 5 years, and traditionally you will do it in the beginning of the term of office. we need to firstly understand what was the reasons for us not achieving those set out in the IDP. And Bigira, it's important to mention to your listeners that when you draw up an IDP, out of the IDP comes a business plan. And from the business plan, you then start to derive a budget to fund the business plan, like you typically do in private sector. However, the way local government works, your revenue streams coming in are typically rates and taxes. And that will be broken down like you see on your utilities bill every month. It's refuse removal, it's water and electricity, and that tallies up to what we call rates and taxes that, that you and I know. Thereafter, we look at provincial government, like the chairperson has alluded, for grants. And then you look at national government for grants. Now, I can assure you that adding up the rates and taxes, the national grants and the provincial grants is not going to assist municipalities to have a fully funded budget. So you're going to have a deficit. Now, where does the deficit, how are you going to fund the deficit? So that's firstly one of the reasons we have a change in the IDP. You don't have money to fund the programs that you have set out to do. Now, one of the ways we can grow the revenue streams is to create economic development in the city. Create the jobs, get people working, and in turn, your revenue increases. And that's been shown across successful cities in the country, like Cape Town, city of Cape Town, and other cities in the world. So it's important to know that we'll have changes, but when those changes take place, we need to communicate those changes back to the community. And Bigita, maybe one should also ask the question, why do we have service delivery protests? If you have an IDP, the community is aware of this, and the chairperson and I, prior to coming on air, we had a discussion. It's because, like you said, we're not going back to communities and giving them feedback. We're not giving them that constant feedback. And now the chairperson, under his leadership, they have put a process in place to go back to communities and do that. So when there are changes, I think effective communication to the community to say, we said we're going to repair the street lights. However, due to the financial constraints, we may not do all, but we'll do 20% of them. And I think that communication is important, and the chairperson and his leadership now has instilled a process where that's going to take place. But it's important that we continue to pay for our services. These services are an important part of our daily livings. And as a resident, you know, Bigita, from the time you wake up in the morning, you're interacting with the city in one way. If you're a coffee lover, you're putting on your kettle. If you take a shower, you're driving, you've got traffic lights to work, you're interacting with the city, I would say, on average, the first hour, hour and a half. And those services come at a cost to municipalities. And we got to ensure, and I think also education. We've got to start educating our communities that we have to pay for our services. That will make the lives of the city so much better. In turn, it will be a sustainable city, a livable city, and a city where we can all thrive in.
Well, what an amazing interview I've had with the City of Tshwane today, Councillor Nick Pascoe, Chairperson of Section 79 Oversight Committee for Integrated Development Plan, that is the IDP, as well as joined by Group Head, that is Dr. Raj Pillay. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for your time this morning. This has been so insightful, so informative, and I'm looking forward to the next interview next week, Wednesday.